The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
You're very welcome back to the show. Now, if you have been listening since 4 o'clock, you'll know that we are partnering with the EY Entrepreneur of the Year Awards, which are happening this evening. A scaled back event, as you would imagine. Far fewer people in Powers Court than maybe the organisers and the rest of us had hoped. But the various finalists are there, and I'm joined by two of them, finalists in two different categories. Lisa Craven, co-founder of Spotlight Oral Care. Spotlight Oral Care are finalists in the emerging category. And I'm also joined by Karen McHugh, who's the CEO of Atlantic Dawn Group. They're finalist in the international category. Folks, you're both very welcome to the show. It's good to see you again. I met you down in Kerry only a few weeks ago. The big night tonight. Are you looking forward to it, Lisa?
Yeah, look, it's a great honour to be here, and I'm really looking forward to the event and catching up with everyone again. So, yeah, really happy and delighted to be part of it, really.
Carl, when we were last speaking down in Kerry, you told me a little bit about Atlantic Dawn, the 30-second sales pitch, as it were, for the company. But I've been reading a little bit since, and you're going to have to explain this to me. One of the big things that you've done in recent years is to sell the company's main fishing vessel. Explain that.
Yeah, that was, I suppose, a pivot away from what we traditionally had focused on, which was processing our catch at sea. And so what we have now is a fleet of smaller, more nimble catching vessels, and we've built up our shore capacity so that we're processing onshore. So we have better quality fish handling and chilling equipment on board the smaller vessels to maintain the quality of the fish until we get them ashore.
And what volume of fish are we talking about, and where does this fish go in the world?
Well, where it goes in the world is very much international. We have main markets in the Far East, particularly China, Japan and Korea, but also in Eastern Europe and in particular in West Africa. So it's very much, I think, in a lot of those markets, a traditional product that is in very strong demand. And then in terms of volumes, well, you know, our volumes are predicated by the quotas that are set each year. And that's the biggest determining factor in terms of how much we can produce each year.
And Lisa, with Spotlight Oral Care, where is your main market? Is it here in Ireland? Is it abroad?
Yeah, so I mean, Ireland is still a huge market for us, but actually over the past year, I would say, you know, Ireland is kind of maybe more approaching 40%, and definitely over the next year or two, we'll have the majority of our business outside Ireland, which is, you know, a great achievement for us. And our focus outside of Ireland then would be like the UK and the US. And so that's really exciting development for us because, you know, we've had our strong roots in Ireland, but we really do have global ambitions for the company.
And so the two of you, both companies, I suppose, have an eye on the global economy to a degree. And Lisa, as I was about to describe the world as post-COVID, we're close to post-COVID, we hope. We'll take an optimistic view, a glass half full view, and say we're close to a post-COVID world. I mean, how healthy are those markets, the economies in those markets that you're selling into?
I think the world has fundamentally changed, especially for consumer brands. I think that people are spending more time and attention on the brands that they're investing in. I think when you look at the oral care industry, you know, the UK and the US are just huge. We're talking like approaching, you know, $54 billion industries. You know, it's enormous. And when you look at the types of products that we make, you know, we're making toothpaste, which is probably one of the most consumable products, you know, where everyone is using that every day, hopefully twice a day throughout their lives. So it's a huge market. And I think, you know, post-COVID, I'd love to think we're post-COVID, I'm not sure, but I think like those buying habits have totally changed. I think it forced so many businesses online, and we were already online, but even within our own company, how we've moved from, you know, primarily retail to primarily D2C with still a strong focus on retail. I think that the consumer behavior has changed, and we can see how such obviously macro events like COVID can impact that. I think people spend a lot more time investing in brands that they want to support for different reasons, like sustainability, for ethics, you know, to support the brands that they align themselves with. And I think that's a really, really good thing that has come out of COVID. And I see that with other brands that are on the rise also.
And Carol, like, did COVID impact your business to much of a degree?
Well, I think it did. I suppose COVID has impacted every business to one extent or another. But for us in particular, we had to put a very strict COVID protocol in place so that we could keep our vessels in operation and our crews at sea. We also had to put a very strict control and protocol in our processing facility to make sure that, you know, when the fish is landed, it's a perishable commodity and we can't have downtime where we've got our workers that can't work because of an outbreak within the factory. So it was challenging, but thankfully we got through it, but we're not out the other end yet. There's still another challenging season. We're just going to be commencing the main season come January 1 when the new quotas are issued. So we're hoping that the robust system that we had in place for last season is going to leave us in good stead for this year as well.
Well, listen, Carol and Lisa, we're joined as well by Neil Gibson, who's the chief economist with EY Ireland. Neil, you heard us there. We're trying to take very much a glass half full approach, and we're describing the world as a near post-COVID world. If you were to describe the health of the Irish economy to somebody who knew nothing about it, the way it exists today, how would you do so?
Well, good news that it's a much more encouraging story than the last time we came out of a global crisis and the financial crisis, you would say. It's built on a strong platform for growth, but there are still some significant challenges ahead. Prices are going up, hard to acquire talent. So there are some new challenges facing us in this hopefully post-COVID world. But I think the important, and we've heard some of that story there, is that we've shown such innovation and creativity in the last 24 months that maybe if we've some new fresh climbs to make, we're at least a little bit better equipped to do them. So solid platform for growth, which is encouraging, but no time for complacency with these fresh cases and a little bit of nervousness creeping back in. We're going to need all of our entrepreneurs to help us through it.
And listen, there are positive indicators in the economy in terms of job numbers and the amount of activity there. When you compare Q3 of this year to Q3 2019, it compares fairly favorably. It's remarkable in a lot of ways, and consumer sentiment bouncing back. But what are the real pinch points, the things you worry about, Neil, if there is anything you worry about? Is it labor shortages? Is it inflation? What is it?
Yes, I mean, it's an economist's job to worry, I think, so we'll always have something on our mind. But you use the right word, remarkable. The labour market has been a tremendous surprise to all forecasters, myself included. But with that strong recovery and a strong labour market comes some fresh challenges. And really, the way we think about it is in three P's: people, prices and planet. So we do have some challenges with rising prices that I think might stay elevated for a little longer than most economists think. And then we have the talent question, which you raise, everyone at all levels trying to get hold of the people they need. You know, one big message is, of course, people are indeed precious. And then that final one of planet is important. And we've just been speaking about that what used to be in the horizon or far away is now much closer at hand. And we do have to tackle that much more immediately than perhaps was thought before. But within that lies opportunities too. So fighting those three P's, people, planet, and prices, turning them from, you know, headwinds into tailwinds, finding opportunity in them is really the big, those would be the three concerns that I have going into 2022. But with each one of them, if you think about it in a different way, you can see opportunities for businesses, as we've just heard, how they find ways to navigate them.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, Neil. I mean, despite it being your job to worry and despite those concerns, like, how optimistic are you when you listen to Lisa's story in Spotlight and Carl's story in Atlantic Dawn and all the other finalists at the event this year at the EY Entrepreneur of the Years and the amazing businesses that they carry on their back? How optimistic are you about 2022?
I would say very. And actually, to be honest, the Entrepreneur of the Year program is one of the real reasons behind that. As you've heard from the two today, it's a very eclectic and diverse mix of businesses. And it's very easy for economists to think in macro terms and think of broad sectors and where the growth might come from. But what we learned from the Entrepreneur of the Year program is growth comes in all different sectors, different places, different ways of working. And that gives you great hope if you think whatever the challenge is, whatever the mountain is we have to climb, what we do know is on the island, we undoubtedly have the talent and the entrepreneurial thinking to find a solution to that problem. And in fact, they're likely to be, many of our entrepreneurs will be the answer to some of the problems that I've just mentioned, and in fact will turn out successful businesses in dealing with each of them.